Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Welcome to another Intentional. I'm Dr. Faye, your host for this faith-based radio out loud broadcast here every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to bring you a message of hope, motivation, inspiration, transformation, empowerment, and all of the tools that you need to live a life from a place inside out. I am glad to be here today because we are continuing our series of teaching from Our Father's DNA, my new book, Our Father's DNA, Switched at Birth, that you can get on AmericaOutLoud.com/Dr. Faye right there on my show page, or take a trip over to Amazon. You'll find it there as well, not only in the Kindle edition, but also in the paperback. And it is in first print, and we're expecting to do it again soon. So thank you so much for those of you who purchased and already have written reviews on Amazon. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. Let's pray, because we want to continue this teaching. If you remember, the last time we talked about heaven is now, and wow, the response that I personally received from that message, I am so blessed, because this is not about me. It is about all of us growing up in grace, growing up in Christ, finally getting it, understanding why we're here on this earth, and the privilege that we have of being a born-again child of God and having access to heaven now is incredible. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this wonderful opportunity that we have to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. We thank you for Malcolm and the team over at America Out Loud, making this all possible. We ask that your blessings will continue to be upon this network and upon the people and upon the listeners and the supporters. We thank you, Father God, that you will speak through my mouth, and God, allow me to be a vessel for you to flow through. I totally surrender all that I am, Lord God, so that you can speak for the people to hear what you would have them to know today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Referencing the scripture from Luke 4 that Jesus read, Luke 4:18, when Jesus was led up of the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he returned in the power of the Spirit, and he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and they passed him the book, recognizing him as a master teacher. They passed the book over to the master teacher, and he found the place in the book where it was written in the book of Isaiah, where he stated, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And we found in this passage that Jesus closed the book. He sat down and he closed the book. He took his seat, meaning that everything that he came to do had been fulfilled. He closed the book on cancer. He closed the book on arthritis. He closed the book on diabetes. He closed the book on hypertension. He closed the book on whatever disease that has been known to mankind. Jesus closed the book, because in him was heaven. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one." He showed us what heaven looked like. How did he show us that? In Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. In Matthew 8:17, the Bible says, "Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Past tense, that we've already been healed. And I know skeptics will say, yes, but I have this disease, and the doctor said that I have this disease, and this is what I, well, you can believe that word, or you can believe this word. Regardless of how you feel, and regardless of the diagnosis, and I know that what you received, but what we receive, we receive. We receive the finished works of Jesus. Oh yes, life does happen, and we do get diagnoses, and problems do occur. And it does not mean that we have to stay there, that there is a way out, because Jesus has already given us the way out. Jesus knew who he was and why he came to this earth. His message and his ministry stood out from the crowd. He was unlike anyone else that the world had ever seen. As a matter of fact, his critics said that no one could do these works except God be with him. Who is he? He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is the Prince of the world. Jesus knew who he was. His ministry stood out. He was followed, worshiped, and yet he was criticized. But one thing about Jesus, he never lost his focus. By the way, I am still in the chapter, The Joy of Heaven, on page 55 from my new book, Our Father's DNA, Switched at Birth. He read the Word. He was the Word. And for over 3 years, that Word was everyday life for those who were in his company, those disciples who followed him, who watched him, who saw the miracles, who witnessed the miracles, the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of them seeing Jesus through their own lenses and giving an account, their record of what they saw. In some cases, some saw a little bit more than others or saw it in a different way. Yet they all testified to the same thing. That he was healing the sick, he was raising the dead, he was casting out devils, he was breaking bread and causing it to multiply. They had accounts similar to that, and they all knew that there was something different about Jesus. Why would they drop their reputations, their occupations, to follow him? All of the 12 disciples were busy doing other things. They were living their lives until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, they dropped what they were doing and began to follow him. St. John said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and there was not anything made that wasn't made by him. He was the living, breathing, walking, talking Word of God. And it goes on to say, I believe in the 14th verse, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus being made the Word, flesh, the living Word, not bound with leather or paper, but the living Word made flesh, incarnate, God's Word manifested in the earth to walk among us. And so we could handle it. In 1 John, he says, that which our eyes have seen, which our ears have heard, which we have handled, it is the Word of life. It is Jesus Christ manifested as God in the earth. And in Matthew 4 and 23, it says, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Again, what does the word all imply? It implies everything, nothing left undone. Jesus healed all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. There was nothing that was beyond his reach. There was nothing that he could not heal. Why? Because this is what heaven looks like. Remember, he closed the book on it. I think if he had not closed the book on that passage of scripture from Isaiah, that we would still not have victory over these things. We would still not have victory over poverty and over sickness and over disease. And I realize other people use different modalities to to say that this is the answer or that is the answer. You know, but if there's any good in those modalities, it is because of Jesus Christ. It is because of God. You can wrap a package and you can put any wrapper on a package, but the contents remain the same. Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is still the savior. Jesus is still the deliverer. And he did it all through his death, burial, and resurrection, where he reigns today at the right hand of the Father. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus came to manifest heaven on earth. When he prayed the prayer in Matthew 6, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That was letting us know there that heaven had come to earth, and that he wanted us to see the very essence of who the Father is through him and what heaven looks like. Matter of fact, the prayer reads this way in Matthew 6, and let's look at verse 9 and forward. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people," he says, "when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Why? Because he's hooking us up to heaven. He's realigning our thinking about the Father with heaven. So as we forgive, we are forgiven. As we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. So he allows that to flow through us, his forgiving power to flow through us. And the same forgiveness that he forgives us with, we are able to forgive others with. The same love that he loves us with, we are able to love others with. And all the negativity that you hear in the news about this politician, that person, if you're not forgiving, if you're not loving, then it will not be given back to you. It will not be reciprocated, because whatever we put out there is what it comes back to us. Jesus wanted us to see heaven. Heaven for most people is described as a place where you go when you die. However, Jesus died so that we could see heaven while we live. Because St. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world," you and me world, you world, me world, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you soever, me soever, we soever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life," have eternal life, not just when you leave the body life, but the life that you live while we are in the body, as the Apostle Paul describes in Galatians 2:20. "The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me." So this life that I'm living is not the life that you think I'm living, because I'm living from the source of life. I'm living from the life giver. I'm living from the origin of life, the source of life, that place where all life begins, the Genesis in the beginning. I'm living from that place, for God spoke and then there was. And as I live life from that place, I get a glimpse into heaven. So that whenever problems occur, and they will, whenever they do occur, that I know that I have an out. I have a place where I can go. I have a refuge. I have a covering. I have a shelter that I can go to and find myself in this resting place of God, where there is peace, where there is joy, where there is happiness. Because this merry heart that doeth good like a medicine. So Dr. Faye, how can you laugh when there's so much going on in the world? Well, how could Jesus hang on that cross for people who hated him and say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing"? How could Stephen lay out in the streets being slaughtered by Christian haters and say, "Look up and see the Son of God"? And say, "Lay not this sin to their charge." How could they do that? They did it because they weren't living a life from the outside in. They're living the life from the inside out. When Jesus closed the book, he closed the book on a lot of things, folks. And many of us are still trying to live from that book, that place of having those things. When Jesus said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. That is all settled, is all done. And when he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder on Golgotha's hill and said, it is finished, it was finished. He came to save that which was lost. What was lost? Our alignment with heaven, our alignment with God, that the first Adam lost in Genesis 3, fell out of alignment, began to receive the words of the serpent, receive words outside of the garden, outside of God. And when he received those words, he received the separation of identity. He no longer had that feeling of being one with God. But the last Adam, Jesus, not the second, but the last Adam, Jesus, came to restore that, came to save that which was lost, came to reconcile us, which means he bought us. He paid a price through his death, burial, and resurrection, through his life on the cross. He paid the price. He became the sacrificial lamb that was slain. He reconciled us, and he redeemed us. He bought us back. He brought us back through reconciliation. He redeemed us. He bought us back. He paid the price. Redemption is paying the price. Reconciliation is delivering us back. He brought us and he bought us back. And aren't we glad that he did it all for free so that we would not have to pay that price, that we would not have to go to the cross and die, that we would no longer have to sacrifice a lamb, a goose, a bullock, or heifer. We would not have to do that because Jesus became that final sacrifice for us. Paul wrote with such genius because he was listening to the life force within him. He is credited with writing over 2/3 of the New Testament, and he did, but he wrote them from places of this where he was physically in distress, in imprisonment, in persecutions, in toils, running for his life. But he never lost who he was or the consciousness of the life force that was within him. And because of what Jesus did, the Apostle Paul could sit down and write to the church at Colossae in the book of Colossians. He said, it pleased the Father to put all the fullness in Jesus. It pleased God to put all of the fullness in Jesus. Everything that was in heaven, everything that is in God was in Jesus. Hello, church. I got to take a prayer pause, but I'll be back in a moment. Don't you lose that thought, because we've got to continue with more here on Intentional.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Apostle Paul wrote the lessons of life in such a way that the New Testament church can learn how to live from a place of Christ in us. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. The completeness of God, nothing missing, nothing broken. All of God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. Yes, yes, and yes. So since all of God was in Christ, and where is Christ today? Christ is in us, the hope of glory. He writes that in Colossians 1 and 27. The richness of this reconciliation, it far surpasses anything that we could possibly imagine. The glory that was in Jesus belonged to the believer by faith. Are you a believer? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you are, that makes you one of us. That makes you a believer. There is a difference between being a born-again child of God and not being one. The relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is not something that you can tangibly see. It's not something that you can tangibly see off the cuff, but it's something that the child of God experiences from the inside out, and that is transferred in their presence. It doesn't take long for you to be in the presence of someone and recognize whether they're a child of God. It does not take long. There's a different flow. There's a different anointing. There's an energy. There's a presence about them. And you know that they are a child of God. I've met people and I felt the presence of God on them. And I said, oh, you're a Christian, aren't you? And they said, yeah, how could you tell? I said, you know, we know each other. We know his presence. We recognize his anointing. We know he's with these others. We know he's with us and he's with you. And because we can tell each other, you know, that's evidence, even more evidence, that there's a difference between the child of God and the person who's not a child of God. Now, if we ask the commoner or the person that's not astute in biblical principles and not aligned with being a Christian, what is heaven? Most people will say that heaven is where God lives. And most people, even in the church, will say that. Heaven is where Jesus came from and went back to. The truth is, everything we believe about heaven, it is true. Heaven is glorious. Heaven is where there's no more worry, no more fear, no more things of this world, and no more pain. There is no more agony, hate, unforgiveness. Heaven is a place where you go when you die, is what many people will say. But does that necessarily mean a physical death? Or does that mean dying to the things of the world to access the things of heaven? That you're no longer married to where you live or the car you drive. You no longer have to have brand names on you. You no longer have to have these things. Again, not because you shouldn't. You don't have to. You follow me? There is a difference, ladies and gentlemen, in having them and have to have it, spoil to it, need it because you don't feel like yourself if you don't have it. Heaven consciousness allows us to be able to let go of many things and people because we know what is the most important thing in this world. What's more important than having stuff and things and name and fame is having this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the place where you get peace. Now, I spent all of that time prefacing the message for today for part two, but it was imperative that I review some things with you and to help you to understand that heaven is not only a place where you can graduate to from this human body experience, but a place you can graduate into inside of this human experience. Don't ask me to repeat it. You'll just have to listen to the encore at 4. All that heaven represents was manifested through Jesus. We read through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts, and we see the miracles. We see Jesus loving on people who were, in society's terms, unlovable. We see him sitting with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and the disciples returned, and they saw him talking to her, and they thought, what is the master doing hanging out with the Samaritan? She's biracial. She's half Jew and half Greek. We know we have no association, no fellowship with Samaritans. But Jesus didn't care that she was a Samaritan. He didn't care that she was biracial. He didn't care about the color of her skin. He cared about her. That's what heaven looks like. Heaven cares about people. The kingdom of God does not come with observation or what people are looking up for. The kingdom of God is within us. When we pass from these bodies, we simply continue to experience heaven. The beginning of the journey is when we become a born-again believer, become a child of God. That's our first step into heaven. Aren't you glad about it? And we have access to the keys of the kingdom, the power and the authority of the kingdom of God to speak to sickness and disease, to speak to poverty, and to do something about it. Not only are we speaking to it, but we are empowered to do something about it, to change the dynamics, to change the way people live their lives from the inside out. Yes, we will give a man a cup of water, but we will not leave until he knows he has a well and how to go and get that water. In John 3:1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not." The world, the people, the world is a term we describe for people who have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And they walk as if this world is all that there is. And they don't look for anything beyond this world. So our message is to the church and also to the world to help develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to present the gospel in such a way that it becomes, you know, it will make them thirsty. It will make you hungry for more and more of God. It will make you want to have a relationship with him, this Jesus that we're talking about. We want you to be so thirsty and so hungry for him that you will go get a Bible and read it and go to a Bible-believing, spirit-filled church so that you can begin to grow from that place. God never leaves his house. He's always at home. As a matter of fact, he said that no longer would he live in a temple made with hands. So all of the beautiful edifices we see around the world, the church buildings, they're nice, they're wonderful. And we need many of them to house the masses of people that come on Sunday mornings. We really do. However, without the building, God still has a house. And we call those buildings God's houses, but they're not really God's houses. They are gathering places for God's houses, for God's people. And because he lives inside of us, he no longer lives in temples made with hands, but we are the temple or the house of the living God. He has come to make his home in us, and he promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He guaranteed a no eviction. He guaranteed a no move out clause. He promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. He promised to be at home in us. So since he is at home in the believer, we can access the place where God lives anytime. So where is that? Now that you know, it's inside of us. God lives inside of us. So when we say God lives in heaven, we are also saying heaven is within us. And God never leaves that place. He is the one who supplies all of the needs for his children. He is always found of those who seek him. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do." So regardless of what is going on in your life, ladies and gentlemen, if God is for you, and he is, even if you're not for him, do you know God loves you in spite of your not loving him? Do you know that he's for you even though you fight against him? Even though you may shun him and you may dislike the preacher, God is still loving on you. Whoa, what kind of love is this? That he'll love you in spite of your lack of love and your lack of community with him. How many people you know will continue to love you even if they never hear from you, if they never fellowship with you, if you just wander on off from them? How many people you know will still love you? There are some constants that we have in life. We really do. There are some people I know love me. If I don't hear from them for the next 10 years, they love me. Malcolm loves me. If I don't hear from him for 10 years, I know Malcolm loves me. I know Kathy loves me. Angela loves me. I can pick out people here, yeah, who love me if they don't hear from me for years. But that's not the case, thank God. We communicate. But God, even if we don't communicate with him, he still loves us. He's loving on you right now, right where you are. Feel his warm and fuzzy. Feel the love. He's loving on you. You who are depressed, you who are depressed, you who are full of fear, you who are full of worry, you who are just wondering what tomorrow is going to bring because life has been so tough lately. He is loving on you right now to say, hey, don't you dare give up, cave in, and quit. I'm with you. You say, well, God, I don't feel like you're with me. Trust me. I'm with you. I'm with you. I encourage you that are feeling that way. Ask him to let you feel his presence. Just say, Father, I want to feel your presence now. He'll do it right now. Will he, Dr. Faye? I promise you he will. Say, Father, let me feel your presence right now. Dr. Faye, you sound really confident in that. I'm afraid to say, Father, let me feel your presence. Don't be afraid. Push past your fear. Be a man enough, a woman enough to say, I'm not going to let fear deprive me. Father, I want to feel your presence. And if you'll say that, ask him that, he'll never deny you. He won't do it. You're strong enough and bold enough to say it. He's with us. He's our helper. In St. John, the 14th chapter, Jesus reminded the disciples of his mission and his purpose. He wanted them to get a glimpse of heaven through obedience to his word. And see, that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. Even if you don't understand all of it, just keep reading it aloud. Just read it every day. Open it up, crack the code, I said every day. I say every day, crack the code, open it up. Read it until it reads you. Father will speak to you from the scriptures, and he'll build you up and encourage your heart. There are some dark places we can walk through in life, and you can feel so alone, even though there are people who love us. You can still feel alone. But if you call on Jesus, yeah, if you call on Jesus, he will hear you, he will answer you, and he will show you great and mighty things. He will build you up where you've been torn down. He'll bless you even when you feel unworthy. He'll have mercy on you even when you feel as though you have abandoned him. He will still have mercy on you. The wonderful thing about mercy is that you don't deserve it. Mercy is when you're guilty and the court says we'll have mercy on you even though you're guilty. We're going to grant you clemency. We're going to let you walk free. Even though you're guilty. That's what the mercies of God will do. We're not always perfect, saying the right thing, doing the right thing. We don't. But you know what? We know that he's present and he's forgiving and he's loving and he's kind. He's our father. We have his DNA. We've been switched at birth. We're no longer the same. We know that we are new creations in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, that we become a new species of being that never existed before. I know some of us act a little odd because we haven't been taught, we haven't been really trained how to walk in spirit. But don't blame the rest of us for the odd side of us, that some of us do some certain things that are just not good manners sometimes. But there are those who are mature enough in Christ, who understand the flow of spirit and will not invade your privacy, not unless it's necessary and we're trying to save your life, and will not berate you or send you to hell because you don't think like us. There are those of us who just love you because we love you. I love you. there's so many people that I've come to love over these past, over this past year, less than a year actually, this past several months. Jennifer Breeden, Jenna Smith, Yvette, my gosh, I mean, there's so many people. Linda Martinelli here on America Out Loud with her husband, Dr. Ron, who hosts Talking While Married every evening here on the platform. Malcolm, I love to the moon and back. He's my blonde hair brother, you know, spiked hair. You know, Taz Thornton, who is amazing, by the way. So many people that I have come to love right here because Malcolm connected us, been a bridge to the world for many of us. You grow in love, and we grow and learn how to nurture that relationship. And Lieutenant Randy Sutton, who's a brother from another mother, love him so. You know, I'm thinking about these people that have become a part of our circle over the past few months, and gosh, it's just crazy good how God just keeps on adding more and more people, the people I interview on the Energy Bar every day at 11 a.m. right here on the platform. It is incredible. You know, that love of God can fill you so full that you just want to pour it out to people. You want to keep on pouring it out and keep on giving it away and keep on loving on others and keep on doing that. Because as we do that, it continues to, we grow and we change because of the Father's DNA. And since we have his DNA and God is love, so what else can I do but love? Keep on loving. The Girls on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure that airs every day at 5 p.m. here on the platform. Co-host with me, and we're in replay now for the summer. But I can tell you that, you know, they've said to me that I'm not really Democrat or Republican. They're not sure where I am. And Malcolm has told me that several times. But you know where I am. I'm a vessel ordained of God to love people, to take his love to the nations. That's my station, to take his love to the nations. And we're going to continue to do that. And I know that you feel his presence here today. And I want you to just let Malcolm know how much you appreciate him being a part of this and allowing this show to be on the air at 11 o'clock every Sunday. This was his idea. Yes, it was. And we're here to honor that and respect that. Let him know how much you appreciate him. Email him. Go to the platform now at America, not now. I got to take a pause and you stay here until I get back. But the platform is AmericaOutloud.com. I'll be back with more from our Father's DNA. Heaven is now, and you better know it.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Jesus wanted his disciples to get a glimpse at heaven, of heaven, by obedience to his word. He knew that if they did what he asked them to do, that they would be aligning themselves with who he was and is, that they would not be separated from God, that they would begin to see what he saw. Amos 3:3 is a little prophetic book in the Old Testament. It said that how can two walk together except they be agreed? And the way we come into agreement is by receiving each other's words. When you say something to me, I receive your word. That's my agreeing with it. I'm nodding my head. Yes, I agree. I have just broken covenant with you concerning that particular issue. We are on the same page. We are one accord. Jesus knew if the disciples would receive the word, they will come into communion with him. They will be in one accord. Remember, he told them that his body was bread. Indeed, to break the bread, this would be his body that was broken for them. And Paul told the church at Corinth, as they received the cup, the communion, and the cup would represent his blood that was shed. Jesus knew in order for them to become one with him, they must become one with the word. He and the word was one. And so they had to learn how to follow him and receive his word. In St. John, the 14th chapter, it says this in the 21st through the 23rd verse. Jesus reminded these disciples this way. He said, "He that has my commandments and keep them, it is the one that loves me. He loves me. He who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him back. I will manifest myself to him." And then the traitor, Judas, remember him, spoke up and said, "Lord, how is it that you will show yourself to us and not to the world? How is it that we'll see you, but nobody else can see you? What kind of trick is that?" Jesus told him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words." Did you hear that? Yes, of course you did. "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." We keep his word, Father loves us, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So he said, if you keep my word, you will experience the love of God and the presence of God. You see, while we encourage you to read your Bible every day, I like recommending Doctor's Prescription, 3 chapters a day, and have your go-to chapter. You know, that one that you just go to, maybe it's on your wall, on your dashboard, on a sticky note. It's just a verse, a chapter that blesses you every day. Mine is Psalms 91. I'll tell you what mine is. It's Psalms 91. I like to read that every day. And then 3 chapters or more. It depends. 3 chapters or more every day. Do you get something out of it every day? No, I don't. I'm not telling you that lie. I do not get something every time I open the book. Sometimes I open it and I am just reading. And then there are other times I open it because habits are great. These habits are wonderful. Other times I open it, it's reading me. And the next thing I know, I've read through an entire book in the Bible in a short amount of time because I like taking quick reading courses. So I've read through it and I'm thinking, oh, that tasted so good. That was so rich. It fed me. And whenever I feel this little nudge inside, I feel a little empty. I don't go to the refrigerator anymore. I go to the Bible because I know I'm hungry for his word. His word is food indeed. His word is drink indeed. And I can be filled in the spirit. You guys know what I'm talking about. Those of you who meditate upon his word day and night, those of you who spend time in his presence. Yes, yes, and yes. So he said, if you spend time in my word, you're going to experience my love. You're going to experience my presence. You're going to experience my anointing. Because you will know that I am with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you a question. Regardless of what's going on in your life right now, could you possibly feel alone if you knew the presence of God was with you? Heaven is in the house, and all that heaven has is present with you. Makes me want to do a Pentecostal dance. Uh-huh. All that heaven has is present inside of us, because Jesus closed the book. He did not leave us. He did not forsake us. He made room for us in heaven. We know, and we now know, that God lives inside of us. This is an incredible revelation, and I think we need to teach this even more, to let people know heaven is inside of you. Father is inside of you. I appreciate nature. I like walking through the park. I like walking along the beach and listening to the ocean waves, the seagulls. I like being able to hear the birds sing and chirp. I can hear them now. I like those sounds. Why? Because those sounds are so meditative. They are so pleasant. They're non-invasive sounds, and they allow you to focus in on the Creator. Birds don't chirp because science told them to chirp. They don't chirp because some man mechanically designed something to say, okay, birds, you must sing every morning. No, this is God's doing. Yes, yes, and yes. The waves in the ocean. Well, we know what science says. But the course and the sound is a God sound. Yes. The seagulls is a God sound. Think about it for a moment, and I can't take a long pause here because we're in the flow. So think about it for a moment. What are the God sounds in your life? Yes. And if you're living in a place where there's just, you know, cement everywhere, you really don't have any sounds of nature, find a sound of nature or go to YouTube and pull it up. It's not the same. It really isn't the same. Really isn't. But get the sounds of God sounds back in your mind instead of all of the busyness that goes along, the traffic, the horns, the beeps on your phone from texting, the sounds on your computer. Find a God sound and just begin to appreciate that and honor God within you as you listen to the sound, and make that a moment of meditation. Even if it's brief, just make it a moment of meditation. For God to decide to really live on the inside of us, for me personally, that is the very meaning of amazing grace, his favor dwelling in me, promising to leave me, to never forsake me, to be with me forever. Wow. So why should I cry if somebody decides I'm not their friend anymore, if they unfriend me on Facebook or say something mean about me on Topic who really don't even know me? I always think it's really something that people can leave a remark and their name is XYZOPQR. Like, really, if you're bold enough to make a statement about somebody online, have the guts enough to put your signature on it. People don't do that. You know why? Because it's not true. Don't get sidetracked in things that don't matter. Allow yourself to meditate on those things that are building you up. Listen to the sounds of God so that you can feel the presence and his creativity flowing through you. In Matthew 28, he told his disciples, he said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've told you. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm there. I'm right there with you. You're never alone. People unfriend you, say mean things about you. You are not alone. Don't let that get in your mind. Correct your friends when they go left in their conversations. You know what I mean? They start making deposits in your soul that they should not be making. Because sometimes people get so lax in their conversation, they think it's okay to say anything they think. And it's not okay to say anything we think. Not unless you've been thinking good. And you know you've been thinking good 24/7, but most people don't. So correct your friends if they're saying anything to pull you away from that meditative moment. The Apostle Paul, in a letter to the church at Corinth, he reminded them of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminded them of what God had done for them. And he wanted them to understand that as a born-again child of God, that there were certain things that belongs to us. So in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says, know you not that you are the house of God, you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Here's that DNA, here's that life force that dwells in you, lives. Dwell means live. You're the house. He dwells inside of us. That's his address. You are God's address. We have received access to life, a life filled with peace, joy, love, happiness, and freedom from fear, addictions, guilt, and shame because of Christ Jesus. We have received something that's greater than any prescription, greater than any drugs that would try to drive you, greater than that alcohol or that wine, that little sip that you have to have every day. You have to have every day something greater. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you, if you ever experience this presence of light and life and love, there is no substitute in this earth for it. There is nothing that can compare. And I mentioned this scripture earlier, and I want to repeat it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man in Christ be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Look, all things have become new. What is it that happens within us to create this new creation? We take on God's DNA. We are, as Jesus told Nicodemus, we're the born-again crowd. We're the believing crowd. We are the Christians, not Christians, but the Christians. Jesus said to him, he said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Yes, I came through my mama and daddy, my mother's womb, not my daddy's womb. I came through my mother's womb. However, in the born again spirit, I come through my father's spirit. So he said, don't marvel, Nicodemus, that I said you must be born again. There is a natural birth and there is a spiritual birth. One is from the natural mother's womb. The other is from the Holy Spirit. If you have not been born again, now I don't mean join the church. You know, I'm a member of the church because my family is a member of the church and my grandpa built the church and we've got bricks there with our name on it. And there's a sidewalk named after my grandmother. And there's a pew with our family's name on it. So, yeah, I'm good, Dr. Faye. I'm going to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your name on a pew or even on the church books as a member or the church roster. I'm not talking about any of those things. I am talking about his name being inside of you, being a born-again child of God, and that you have taken time, a few minutes, to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to be your child. I want to feel your presence. I want to know you. And if you say those words and pray that prayer, you will experience God and find a church that's teaching from the Bible, the Word of God, and will take time to teach like we teach here every Sunday. And if you need the fellowship of others, find your local church. There's somebody there that truly loves the Lord and that will teach. You may have to drive a little distance. I don't know. But find a place that you can call your church home if possible. In Hebrews 4, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are no longer that old man in his sinful nature once we're born again, and neither are you if you said that prayer. We are the new creation. We have access to the throne room of God. We have put on a new man, a new genetic coding, a new DNA. This divine nature is God's DNA. That's right from page 61 in my new book, Our Father's DNA. This is God's DNA, where we get to renew our minds with his thoughts and live out this life from that place of knowing we are no longer subject to the natural DNA. We are no longer mere heirs of our ancestors, but heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. We said as we began this journey in teaching from this book, from my new book, is that many people are spending millions and millions of dollars collectively searching for their ancestry and their roots. But when we realize that those roots can't help us, those people are dead and gone. And there is no value in that. It's just mind candy. But at the end of the day, what we need to know is that we've been born of God. So we're no longer heirs of those ancestors. We're now heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Colossians 3 and 10, as we close today, that we put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all of us who've been born again. For in him, Christ, Colossians 2 and 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Since he is the head of everything and we are complete in him, oh my, that means that there is nothing missing and nothing broken. So whatever is going on in your body today, remember Jesus closed the book on it. He brought heaven to earth. And your doctor may have opened the Merck manual and diagnosed you, but Jesus closed the book on the Merck manual. And all things have been given unto us. And declare and decree his word over our lives. You see, he wants us to know his word so we can know truth. We can know what to say about ourselves through the renewed mind. We're complete in him. There's nothing missing and nothing broken. And rather than waiting to die to go to heaven, we are now, today, learning to live from that place called heaven on earth. And that's my message today. What's yours? As you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to know about it. Tell your friends and family about it. You'll get excited. Maybe you were thinking before you listened today that you had no hope, but I'm telling you there's hope in Jesus Christ and that your life can get better and it will get better with Jesus. Again, it doesn't mean bad things won't happen, but you'll have a way of escape. There will be a source that you can call on. You can say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, who's in me, hallowed be your name." You can begin to pray the prayer and watch God do some amazing things in your life. I know he wants to. Won't you let him? I love you, and thank you so much for being a part of today's broadcast right here on Intentional, your faith-based Out Loud radio show, sponsored by America Out Loud, one of the premier radio networks around the world. I appreciate each of you listening every Sunday and your prayers and sending me an email at drfaye@americaoutloud.com. Don't forget the encore at 4. Don't forget, you can also share your offerings. If this is your church service, if this is your message of faith for today, you can share your offerings right there on americaoutloud.com/drfaye. There's a donate button there that you can share, and we don't care about the amount. Whatever it is, we would appreciate it. Learn how to use that option, please. Use that option to give because you are a giver. Amen. And don't forget the encore. Don't forget to listen to the other shows on America Out Loud. You will be a blessing. You will be blessed. Go to AmericaOutLoud.com. Find your favorite show. Archive and bookmark it, not archive it, bookmark it. Make sure you go check us out on iTunes. Make sure you review. I love you. Don't forget the book is found on America Out Loud as well as Amazon, Our Father's DNA, Switched at Birth. I'm Dr. Faye, and I'm having a great day, and I know you are too. Remember, agents of change are not born. They are made. Until next time, be blessed.